Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. The legendary jam band Phish is playing a four-night run at Madison Square Garden in New York this week. They perennially sell it out, and that's pretty much the case wherever Phish goes these days, despite the fact that the band doesn't have any major radio hits. So what is it about jam music that works so well? That's Phish playing their improvisational mainstay Tweezer. All the familiar elements are there. But what if you took that song and boiled it down to just one instrument? That is Holly Bowling, who has immersed herself in the music of Phish for her entire life. She's a classically trained pianist who specializes in reimagining Phish and the Grateful Dead in her unique way. And she's now released albums of covers of both bands. Her latest is called Better Left Unsung, and it tackles the music of the Grateful Dead. Holly's listed in Rolling Stone as a new artist that you need to know. She's on tour right now with dates across the country. And she joined me in the studio from behind a piano to talk about what makes her music work.
Namely, I think it's not the song so much, but where that song tends to go. It's a song that is usually a launch pad into a lot of improvisation.
Talk me through that a little bit. Let's hear a little bit of improvisation. And usually you do it with music, not words. But let's do a little bit of both. And like, talk me through a little bit sort of where this can go. Go ahead.
Well, it could really go anywhere. I mean, generally, if we're starting out like Tweezers in the key of A minor, right? Maybe it starts there in the initial improv. But when things really get interesting, in my opinion, is when they veer off in another direction. So maybe you stay in A minor for a little while, and it still has the original character of the piece. And then so now we've shifted into a major key. We're in C Lydian now. And so, you know, a totally different change of character and a whole different mood to the piece. And so when I go see Phish and I hear them improvise, or when I'm playing my own show and I'm improvising, I want to go through all of these different states and series of emotions and themes and really just take the whole journey.
And that's the thing for this band. I mean, improvisation is such a huge deal for Phish and for their fans, but they're a band of, what is it, four guys, right? You're one person, and you're distilling their group improvisation down to just what you can do as one performer, and that's a real difference when you're channeling that.
Yeah, and you know, there's a few different things I'm doing here. I started out, the first piece of Phish's music that I interpreted was a version of their song Tweezer from Tahoe a few years ago, and it was a 37-minute piece of improvisation that I wrote out note for note and arranged for piano and tried to take what those four guys were doing and turn it into something that I could play on this instrument with two hands. And I still do some stuff like that. I call those jam transcriptions. So I'm trying to reimagine a specific live performance. And then there's other stuff I do where it's much more open-ended and free-form, and the improvisation is very much my own. Rather than scripting their improvisation and recreating it, oftentimes I'm just trying to find a space for an open canvas where I can do this in my own voice and in my own interpretation. So,
but when you do the scripted ones, I imagine the details are important. I mean, I know a lot of Phish fans. They know the details. They know where a show goes. They recognize the theme or the conceit of a performance. And they really rely, in a way, on getting it right.
Absolutely. And I do get very detail-oriented with that kind of thing. And for me, the contrast between the super detail-oriented stuff that I want to recreate the same exact way every time, even down to how loud I play a certain note or where I put a crescendo, versus the other parts of my shows where I have a complete open-ended freedom for 20 minutes or more, where I have no idea what I'm going to do and no idea where the music's going to take me. Having that dichotomy is very important to me.
All right, so speaking of old school, let's talk Dead for a minute here. Can I ask you to play something just like really popular? Would that be all right? Can you try Friend of the Devil?
Sure, yeah. I've never really done a solo version before, but we can give it a
shot. pretty good for a dry run if you've never played that solo before.
It just opens a doorway that makes me realize, man, I'd love to dive into that one and really work on arranging it.
And it surprises me. I mean, I don't know if that was ever a top 40 hit, but it's one of their most popular songs ever. I mean, real radio play for a band that didn't rely on it too heavily, that it's one you don't play regularly. You prefer the more obscure or more artistic songs?
I wouldn't say more obscure necessarily. I mean, part of this for me is I'm not even really super aware of what their big radio hits were. You know, I was born in 84. I never actually got to see the Dead perform with Jerry. And so I came into this music in a very sort of indirect way. I grew up hearing it as a kid. My parents were into it. And so I've been familiar with this music my whole life, but I never, you know, it was never like I heard it on the radio one day and went, oh, wow, this is the band for me, you know, and came in through their whatever their top hits were.
Is there a difference for you in interpreting Phish and the Grateful Dead? People lump these two jam bands in together. That's probably unfair in some ways. Is there a difference for you when you perform them?
Yeah, you know, I think that they're incredibly different musically, and I see why they get lumped together. They both have a focus on improvisation and risk-taking and long, you know, long continuous flowing sets, but really one of the things I like about getting to play with both catalogs in the same show is that they cover such different ground emotionally and the character of the music and the kind of energy that it brings. And so, you know, for example, figuring out how to move between those two dynamics, you know, going from something like Phish's song It's Ice, which is very dissonant and filled with tension and very kind of proggy, into something like the Dead's Row Jimmy. That's this beautiful, sad, you know, they're just so different. So figuring out how to take the journey between one and the other and cover the ground that sets you down from one to the other gently and appropriately is it's an interesting challenge. And it really opens up the spectrum that you can play with in a show by having that repertoire.
Well, would you try that for me? Would you try Row Jimmy for me?
Sure, yeah.
That's great. So Holly, what got you into this? I mean, there's a really dedicated fan base, obviously, for both of these bands. So a ready-made audience, I guess. Was it as practical as that? You know, if I play Phish and the Dead and I'm good at it, people will want to hear it because these people love this music. They love the improvisation and there's tons of shows and I can ride that wake. Or was there more to it than that?
You know, it really wasn't a practical approach like that, and it wasn't like I woke up one morning and had this idea and said, oh, you know what would really market well is this. It was very much the opposite. I'm a huge Phish fan and a huge fan of the Dead, and just I have a love for this music. And after the show that Phish played in Lake Tahoe a few years ago where they did that crazy 37-minute version of their song Tweezer, I went home and started working on transcribing it and arranging it for piano just as sort of a personal project, kind of a hobby, something to work on. And I worked on it for about a year, and when I was finished, I posted a video of it online just for kicks, because I had, you know, spent a year on this huge project and just figured may as well share it. And that turned into a much larger response and audience than I had ever anticipated, and it opened the door for me to work on more of these arrangements and take them out on the road and record an album and do all these things related to it. But the whole thing was born out of something that I was just doing because I loved it. You know, I wish I could say I was smart enough to have had this strategy going in and thought, oh, this will really sell. But it,
right, but
it wasn't that at all.
But it works anyway. I think one of the great things about this, though, is that you found this music that you love and that you can arrange. On the one hand, somebody might say, oh, Holly Bowling, cover musician. But you're not that, because the basis of all this music is creativity and improvisation. You're not playing 3.5-minute radio covers in a bar. I mean, you're playing music that at its very core is about experimentation and improvisation.
Yeah, and you know, I think there's a few responses to that. One is, you know, I come from a classical music background, and you know, you could look at someone like, I was just looking, Christopher O'Reilly, who's an amazing pianist, is doing a program coming up that I'm really excited about, and you know, he's playing other composers' works, and you know, no one goes to the symphony or to go see a concert pianist and says, oh, they're playing someone else's music who's been, you know, dead for 400 years. Like, oh, it's a bunch of covers. Who cares about that, right? The beauty is in the interpretation. And even if the notes are the same every time, each person brings something different to the table. And there's a beautiful art form in that. Secondly, I work on these arrangements and really try to put my own spin on them. And there's a lot of creative decisions that go into figuring out which parts to bring in, when to take them out, what to put in the foreground, what to really bring to light the most, what to leave in the background, and how to shape the trajectory and storyline of a song. And then the third thing is, when I'm doing my shows, I'm not just playing the arrangements. There's a lot of room for solo piano improvisation in between. And that, to me, is really one of the most interesting places that this can go, you know, to have an audience that's very receptive to improvisation and risk-taking and have the platform to be able to go up there and just play for 20 minutes and let things build to a peak and have it be different than anything else you've ever done. So at that point, I feel that it's very much more than covers, you know, it's interpretations, it's improvisation, it's its own thing.
Well, people who catch Phish on the road can often see you performing near them. Phish is in New York this week at Madison Square Garden, right? You're playing a few shows in the city.
Yep, I'll be at the Cutting Room on December 30th and 31st.
And people can see and hear all of the improvisation in your performances at the Cutting Room. Holly Bowling, thanks for coming in. It's great.
Thanks for having me.
Holly Bowling, pianist, performer, Phish, and dead enthusiast here on The Takeaway. Holly Bowling's new album is Better Left Unsung. It's available at hollybowling.com or wherever you get your music. If you want to listen to a full version of the Grateful Dead's Cassidy, played by Holly, live in our studio, head to thetakeaway.org.